Now today, we're continuing to hear different stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita and try to learn some lessons from these stories. So Pundarik Vidyaniti slept by the lords. This story is taken from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 16. It's a short one, 78 to 81. Who is Pundarik Vidyaniti in Krishna Lila? Brishabhanu Maharaj. Who is Brishabhanu Maharaj? The father of Srimati Radharani. So Brishabhanu Maharaj, he came into Gaur Lila because his daughter came, right? Radharani came into Gaur Lila as Gadadhar Pandit. Of course, also as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna. But Gadadhar Pandit is also Radharani. Sarup Sahita Tanra Hayasakya Priti Dui Janaya Krishna Katai Ekatra Istiti. Sarup Damodar and Pundarik Vidyaniti had a friendly, intimate relationship. As far as discussing topics about Krishna, they were situated on the same platform. Sakya Priti, Krishna Kata, Ekatra Stiti. Ekatra Stiti. They were standing, they were fixed on the same platform, one platform of Krishna Kata, Duijan, these two people. Garadara Pandite Teno Puna Mantra Dila Odana Shastira Dine Jatra Je Dekila. Pundarik Vidyaniti initiated Gadadhar Pandit for the second time, and on the day of Odan Shasti, Pundarik Vidyaniti saw the festival. There's a purport. This is a festival in Jagannath Puri and the change of seasons from autumn to winter. And this ceremony, the Lord is, from that day onward, the Lord is given this, Lord Jagannath wears a chadar, a winter covering. And it's directly purchased from a weaver. And according to the vidhi of Archan Marg, the rules and regulations of deity puja, or murti puja, any cloth, new cloth which is purchased from the market should be washed, because generally it's dipped in some starch, or either it's dipped in starch or simply the handling, the production of the cloth, the manufacture of the cloth and the hand loom, it comes sometimes in contact with oil. There's some oil in the hand loom or some contamination. It's called dravya dosh. So the cloth, before it's offered to the deity, it must be purified. And there's different methods of purification depending on the type of cloth. Wool can be purified simply by exposure to the sun or to the wind. And silk is the same way. But if it's cotton cloth or jute, it has to be washed in water first. So this is what Prabhupada's mentioning here. But Pundarik Vidyaniti, when he went to take darshan of Jagannath on this day of the festival, he saw that the cloth, the chadar that Jagannath was wearing, was still stiff. It still had the starch inside. Starch means some atta, some flour. Was still stiff. Excuse me? Yeah, there, yeah, different place. They use rice. Sometimes they use flour. There in Orissa, they use rice flour, which makes like a paste or starch. Gives a nice look and makes it look ironed also. He saw that the priest had neglected to wash Lord Jagannath's cloth. So he bought from the weaver and he simply put it on the Lord. He didn't wash it, which was a violation of the Archan Vidhi, the rule of deity worship. Since he wanted to find some fault in the devotees, Pundarik Vidyaniti became indignant. Means he became upset. Jagannatha parena tata mudiyavasan dekhiya sagrina haila vidya nidira man. When Pundarik Vidyaniti saw that Lord Jagannath was given a starch garment, he became a little hateful. Sagrina. In this way his mind was polluted. Se ratri Jagannath balayasya Dui bhai chadana Tanre hasiya hasiya. That night, when Pundarik Vidyaniti took rest, the two brothers, Dui Bai, Dao, Krishna Kaniya Dalji Kobaya, Jagannath and Balaram came to Pundarik Vidyaniti in his dream, and smiling, they began to slap him. Tong, 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 tong. Gala fulila charja antare ulas vistari varniya chena brinda vanadas. Although Pundarik Vidyaniti's cheeks were swollen from the slapping of the lords, Pundarik Vidyaniti was very happy within. Antare ulas. He was jubilant. He was so happy in himself. This incident has been elaborately described by Thakur Vrindavan Das. So we have to... This is simply an enticement to read more about the story. But in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Lord spoke to him also. They spoke to him and said, "What is this? Why you find fault with the Pujari? You should not find fault. He offered this cloth with love. We accepted it. Why are you interfering with your rules and regulations?" Because there's a phrase: in love there are no rules, and in rules there is no love. Interesting phrase. So in the loving exchanges, there's no rules to follow. Oh, you can't touch me there. You can't do this or that. There's no rule. In love, there's no rules. And in rules, there's no love. Oftentimes, there can be. You can also follow rules and have love. But oftentimes, if someone is strictly following Vidhi, and only Vidhi, their execution of elementary devotional practices may be purely mechanical, without a touch of feeling. They're simply doing it out of duty, which is also good, no doubt. But even in the beginning, at least of devotional service, bhakti, there should be the injection, there should be the addition of the necessary element which promotes the cause of the soul, and that's feelings. And that's the implication of the word anukulyena, that we should perform our activities with feelings for the Lord, and with a sincere, heartfelt desire to give pleasure to the Lord. Oh my Lord, will you be pleased with this offering? Will you be pleased with this chanting? I'm chanting this holy name for your pleasure. Is it nice? Am I doing it nicely? Am I following? Okay, I'm following the rules. I'm trying to avoid the 10 offenses. I'm trying to sit straight. I'm trying to concentrate my mind. I'm chanting with a prayerful attitude. I'm chanting in the early morning hours. I'm chanting in the association of devotees. I'm chanting in front of Tulsi. I'm chanting in front of the deities. So these are the vidhi, the japa vidhi, the rules and regulations. But the essential thing is my heart into it? Are my feelings mixed up here? Or is it only the offering of rules? Rules, dry mechanics minus mood and mellow. Must be mood and mellow there. Because vidhi, if vidhi is performed, or vaidhi sadhana is performed, it should be performed mixed with a desire to attain bhav. And then our promotion is very fast. We're hankering, we're yearning, we're desiring to attain pure love for Krishna and to serve Krishna with feelings, loving feelings, not just to drag on through the mechanics day after day after day. Heart and mind and senses all together. And Prabhupada so much emphasized this, that it is not, we're not doing service, we're rendering devotional service. Everyone is serving. Serving means acting, moving, working. Everyone is doing that. But the difference between everyone and devotee is this essential element, bhakti. This mood of desiring, loving touch. Sometimes they have this phrase, tender loving care, TLC. Or they say it's not what you do that counts, it's how you do that counts. I heard one godbrother, a psychologist, he says that people don't really care how much you know. until they know how much you care. Very interesting phrase. Like someone may come and they speak such a very erudite class and quote thousands of shlokas, and they know the tattva and siddhanta, tattva siddhanta backwards and forwards, and they give a very eloquent presentation, very animated and exciting, profound. But then you meet them and they don't care anything about you. So the phrase is, people really don't care to know, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. So therefore, this phrase is indicating that caring, loving, feeling is more important than knowledge. And this is the difference, this is why Krishna is more attractive than Narayan, because he's Madhuryamayi Purushottam, and Narayan is Aishwaryamayi Purushottam. Krishna is made of sweetness, caring, bhaktivatsalya. This is a characteristic of Krishna, bhaktivatsalya. Narayan is just, he's Atmaram. He's Atmaram Aptakam. Everything's going on. I have my expansions, I have my Purushavatars. Everything is dancing and moving according to their will. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. And I'm just lying down. I'm getting my malish. I'm getting my foot massage. I'm lying on my waterbed. That's nice. What to do? Nothing to do. Well, Krishna is so much caring for his devotees. Krishna cries for his devotees. So much vatsalya, so much affection, so much care. Krishna comes to the aid of his devotees. When devotees are crying and crying for Krishna, then that touches Krishna's heart. It moves his heart. And he comes and he sits next to the devotee and cries along with him. And he helps him. It's so personal, so sweet, so intimate. This is the form of Madhuryamayi Purushottam, Krishna. So this is the story that Pundarik, he made some offense in his mind to the Pujaris. Because Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra, it's very difficult to understand the actions and movements of the Vaishnava. And especially Jagannath, as a form of the Lord in this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Jagannath as Brajendra Nandan Krishna. When they asked him, who do you see? Who do you see on the altar in Jagannath Puri? He said, I see Brajendra Nandan Shamasundar. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came in the temple and he saw Jagannath, he said, oh, Sham, Sham, and he started running. Because he was seeing his Lord playing the flute. A beautiful Raktadhara. Raktadhara is one of the names of Jagannath in Puri. Raktadhara. 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 Means red lips, Adhara. He has red lips, very full of emotion, full of anurag for Radharani. So this heart is so much colored by this intense attachment and loving, yearning and longing for Radharani's love, that color flushes his face with red, and especially his lips take a very strong reddish color. And so he's called Raktadhara Jagannath. Even they have some bhajans like that, Raktadhara. So Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and with the kanti and mood, the love and mood of Radharani, Radhabhav, came in and said, there's my Lord. I've been searching, where's my Lord? Krishna Kahan, Krishna Kahan. And I came in the temple, I see Jagannath. I don't see Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, Aishwarya Purushottam, Jagadish, Jagannath. I see Brajendra Nandan, that sweet, lovable boy of Braj, walking barefoot through the Kadamba forest, playing his vamshi, calling the cows, calling the gopis. And I run. Oh, you are standing there. You're extending me your arms. If someone goes like this, it means, yes, come and embrace me. But if someone goes like this, it means get lost. Right? They go, hey, you know, what to speak of other mudras they can use, no? There are some very famous mudras that people use to indicate their disinterest in another person. But here, Jagannath, or Brajendra Nandan Shamasundar, he's standing with open arms. I mean, this is the origin of the open arms phrase. The Lord, Jagannath, the primeval Lord, the Adi Purushottam, he's standing with open arms. Yes, come, my Lord, my lover, my beloved, my Priyaji. And then Mahaprabhu says, yes, Priyatam, oh, Priyatam Sham. And Lord Chaitanya is running with open arms. And Jagannath's waiting with open arms, and they're running, and they're about to embrace in a beautiful prema lingata, loving embrace. And then before he could even embrace the Lord externally, he embraced the Lord internally. Mahaprabhu tightly embraced the Lord through his eyes, and just feeling the embrace of the Lord within his heart, he toppled on the ground and collapsed on the ground in ecstasy. And it was all arranged by Brajendranandan to protect Radharani from getting beaten by the pandas in the temple. They thought, well, who is this golden madman? Some golden madman, 7-foot madman, running to defile the deities. So they were about to beat him with their bamboo sticks. Well, then he fainted. And then they said, oh, what is this person lying on the ground? And other devotees came, and he was carried to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And he examined his symptoms of his body, and he said, no, he's not a madman. He's not a golden madman. He's a Mahapurush. He's exhibiting all the symptoms of great bhav and ecstasy and love of Godhead. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's observation. So this Jagannath and Balaram, they were slapping Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So the point I'm making is, it's very difficult to understand the dealings between the Pujaris in Puri and Jagannath. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who's an eternal associate of the Lord, he's Vrishabhanu Maharaj, he couldn't understand, oh, what is this? They offered starched cloth to the Lord. They violated the rules and regulations. But the Lord Jagannath was happy. He was very happy. Oh, as soon as I was feeling cold, and because it takes some time to wash the cloth and dry it, and in a cold season it's not very dry, so things dry a little slowly. Maybe Jagannath was cold, and maybe he told the Vajari, come on, it's just, because sometimes you see in India, you must be knowing, that the weather is quite warm. And all of a sudden there's a quick change. It can get cold in one night, especially here in North India, and in Puri also, depending on direction of the winds. It can become cold at night. Winds can come from the west or different direction than the ocean, and a cold breeze can come. So maybe Jagannath was saying, oh, I'm very cold, quickly. So he quickly bought this starched cloth and odan and put it on Jagannath. So he was simply pleasing the Lord. Forget the rules and regulations. In love, there's no rules. Like someone might say, like a child, for example. A child comes home from school. He says, Mommy, Mommy, I'm hungry. Oh, please feed me. Oh, wait, I have to prepare the offering tray for Bhagavan. Please sit down. Mommy, I'm hungry. Ah! I'm starving. No, I have to wash the deity's plate. I have to light incense. I have to get the tulsi. I have to put it on the plate. I have to ring the bell. Just be quiet. No, but because Bhagavan is in the child also. So the child goes, okay, and then just puts a plate on the table. Sit down, here's cookies and milk, and throw a maha tulsi leaf in it. Haribo. Radhe Radhe. He has some mahachar and tulsi lying around, and you just throw it in. Okay, whatever the maha touches, it becomes maha. If a drop of Ganges water touches a vat of water, all that water becomes Ganga. The transmission of energy is there by divine arrangement. So necessity is a mother invention. So in love, there's no rules. The mother says, no, you sit down. You wait for it. And we have to make the offering. And Thakurji, we have to make this offering for 20 minutes. Now wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Not 19 minutes, not 18. Look, the book says 20 minutes. The plate has to stay in the altar 20 minutes. The kid has a temper tantrum and blows down the house. So Jagannath and his pujaris have a very extraordinary relationship that outsiders can't understand. Pundarik Vidyanidhi could not understand, and he's Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And Ramanujacharya, he could not understand. Ramanuja, the head of the Sri Sampradaya, he's a Bidvan, Chaturvedi, Shastra Shiromani, Mahamandaleshwar, Jagadguru, Ramanuja. So worshipable, so intelligent, so renowned, so famous, so powerful, so influential. But he could not understand Jagannath and his pujaris. And he came to Puri 1,000 years ago. And he said, what is this? These guys, they get up out of bed, they don't take a bath, and they start grinding chandan for the Lord. And then they get the maha rice. Then on Ekadasi, there's a little temple of Ekadasi Devi, because I tell you, everything is personified. So Ekadasi has a little temple outside on the compound of Jagannath. There's a small temple there of Ekadasi Devi, and every day the doors are open and you have darshan, this little murti of Ekadasi Devi. Then on Ekadasi Tithi, 11 days after Purnima, 11 days after Amavasya, on Ekadasi Tithi, they close the darshan doors and they put a big oversized padlock. It's almost like a cartoon padlock. It looks like something out of a cartoon. The doors are this big, and the padlock's as big as the door. It's this huge key. It's really looks like a cartoon. It's a huge lock like this, and they close the door and lock it. And on that day, all the pujaris get Jagannath's rice. And that is very important. No matter what you eat any time of the month, on these 2 days, you have to get a big pot of rice and go home and eat Jagannath's rice on Ekadasi. And then you ask the pujaris, oh, this is Harivasara. All the shastras enjoin that you must fast from beans and grains. Papa Purusha. Papa Purusha lives in the Anna. He lives in the grains on this day. Anyone who eats grains on this day takes all the personification of sin in his body. Papa Purusha, personification of sin. This is a great aparad. This is Vishnu aparad, Ari aparad, blah, 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 blah. And they say, hey, Baba, Ari, Baba, didn't you see we locked up Ekadasi? Ekadasi, David, didn't you see we closed the door, we put a big, look at this big padlock. She can't go anywhere. She can't get out. She can walk around any other day, but in Ekadasi, we lock her there. She can't go out. She can't see. She doesn't know what we're doing. Not only the pujaris, but all the, this is a big day for darshan and Jagannath Mandir. All the Ariyavasis and different Ariya devotees, they try to make it a point. They try to make it a point at least twice a month to come and take darshan of Jagannath and honor the rice on Ekadasi. Jai Jagannath. And Skanda Puran and the Purushottam Mahatmyam says the resident, the demigods with folded hands and great respect and bowed heads, they see the residents of Puri as Vaikunthavasis with four arms. And the boga that they eat, whether it's muchli from the ocean or whatever it is, the boga that they eat is equivalent to Havishan. Havishan is something you eat when you want to become purified. It's like unspiced mung dal and plain rice and these type of things. It's called Havishan. Selected foods for purification of a Hindu rite and sattvagun. And if it's offered to the Lord, then it becomes Havishan Prasad, Vishnu Prasad. And the gopis that did the Katyayani Brat, they took this Havishan, unspiced khichdi, for 1 month, and they worship Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini Dishvri Nanda Gopasatam Devi Patime Kurute Namaha. They were praying to Katyayani, oh Katyayani Devi, please make Nanda Gopasutam Devim. Please make the son of Nanda Maharaj our husband. This is Dandakaranya sages were worshipping with this bhav because they had seen Ram in Treta Yuga and they had this Madhurya bhav in the conjugal mood of Swakya, husband type. So they became sages and they became gopis and worshipped Katyayani. This is after Kartik. Just like that. So Jagannath is... Ramanuja couldn't understand. So when he came there, he said, what is this? Their cleanliness standard, their punctuality. And these sabaras, these pig farmers, this, that, the other thing. They're worshipping during the Rath Yatra time. They're doing the Anavasara. They're repairing the Lord's body. And they're not very clean. And listen, I'm going to revamp the entire puja structure according to all the proper Rig Veda, Samaveda, all the proper Tantric, Narada Pancharatra, all the proper rules, regulations. And I'm going to bring in Pakka, Bilku Bariya, Pakka Brahmins from South India. We're going to, these guys, they're out. So he fired 3,000 pujaris. He had the plan to fire 3,000 Jagannath Pandas and bring in South Indian Brahmins to do the puja according to the right standard, everything on time. Now, if you want to eat the Raj Bhog of Jagannath, if you go there, about 9 years I spent summer there for 2 months, 9 years consecutively. And every day we take Jagannath's Mahaprasad, his Raj Bhog. And then it would come anywhere between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 4, 5, 6, 7, whenever Jagannath leaves. And so it had very much flexible standard. And what to speak of Rath Yatra, and that's a whole other story, which I'll tell you some other time. But it's an unusual relationship. So Ramanuja Acharya hatched this very beautiful Pakka plan to have very strict, very punctual, very clean puja for Lord Jagannath, all according to the proper standards of Sri Rangam and Balaji Venkateshwar and Badrinath and all the Pakka temples of South India. Pakka, just pure Brahminical standard. So what did Lord Jagannath think of this plan? He thought, this plan stinks. And you stink too. So when Ramanuja took rest, Lord Jagannath picked him up in his dream and chucked him south. 1,000 kilometers. The next morning when Ramanuja woke up, he woke up in Kurukshetra, which is near, I don't know, Vishakhapatnam or Vijayawada, somewhere down south. And he woke up and said, whoa, what happened? And so this is a clear indication from Jagannath is, I don't want your idea. So all those 3,000 pandas that were fired, they came, and Jagannath then appeared in a dream to the king and the head of Bajari and said, listen, boys, come on back. Listen, boys, come on back. I want you. You've been serving me for thousands of years, your father and grandfather, with your same dirty clothes and same dirty methods, and I love it. It's all bhav. You have bhav. You know, in love there's no rules. You have so much bhav for me and so much love for me that I just can't live without you. Please, I want your service. Because what happened is even he started in some departments, Ramanuja started engaging some Brahmins and grinding chandan and preparing Jagannath's chandan. But they didn't know the age-old traditions. Because it's not just combine this and that and this and that. But there's something called this bhav that only the pandas have, which is passed down from generation to generation. And Pukka professional pujaris from South India, although highly trained and highly qualified with all the Brahminical standards, they didn't have that bhav. It was just coming down to, it was a samskara in the genes or the hearts of the Jagannath pandas and pujaris that they couldn't imitate. Although they did all the rituals, and Jagannath wasn't happy. He was receiving the chandan and he was saying, oh, this is not nice. This chandan is something missing. And this cooking, you're cooking the same articles, but something missing. So he put up with the changes to a little bit for a few days, and then he says, hey, forget it. Because only a few Brahmins were brought in to change some things. And then the larger plan was to sack, Ramanuja is going to sack 3,000 pujaris in all departments. And then Jagannath is thinking, oh, wait a minute, this is too far. So he ejected. He gave the ejector seat, like James Bond. He gave the ejector seat to Ramanuja. And he landed in Kurukshetra. It's a beautiful story. It's a true story. So therefore, even Pundarik Vidyanidhi could not understand the intimate, loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotee. It's very difficult to understand these things. But nevertheless, certainly he got a good experience. Jagannath and Balaram came in his dream, and they slapped him in his dream. They said, what is this? You criticize our pujari. Then when he woke up from his dream, although it was swapna, when he woke up, he actually had swollen cheeks. His cheeks were all swollen, even in his sadaka deha, in his external bahir sharir, his external body. Then the next day he went and he told Lord Chaitanya, oh, how fortunate you are. So we wouldn't mind having a dream like that. Well, we would love to have that experience of dreaming of our Lord and coming back. And then sometimes of course, this indicates how great a devotee Pundarik Vidyanidhi actually was. It's not that he's a neophyte, obviously, eternal associate of the Lord, to have such intimate pastimes with the Lord. But he's illustrating many points about the intimacy of the Lord and his devotees. And also, when the Lord comes to this world, when he comes to this parishad, they all come as teachers. One plays the role of teacher or student and teacher, or they exchange the roles. So Lord Chaitanya came to teach, Krishna came to teach, Ram came to teach, all the avatars come to teach, and all the devotees of the Lord, they come to teach. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is teaching. Arjuna is teaching, Swarup Damodar is teaching, Rupa Goswami is teaching. Who are they teaching? Each other? What can they learn? They're eternal associates. They're teaching us. So what Pundarik Vidyanidhi is doing by this example is teaching us, don't be judgmental. As Jesus said in his immortal words, judge not lest ye be judged. In other words, don't judge others, otherwise you'll also be judged. Or they have, there's another phrase, I don't know where it comes from. People who live in glass houses should not throw stones. So if you live in a house made of glass, conch, like sort of like conch shell, but conch, more nasal, conch. If you live in a conch gar, if you live in a house made of glass, and you go out on the street and you see people, hey, you stupid, and you start throwing stones at them. That's not a very good idea. Because they may pick up some stones and throw at your house and break all the glass in your house and you'll have no house. So what is the house in this analogy? The house is our ego. The house is our ego. The house is our mind. The house is our heart. So if we go criticizing other people and finding fault with them, then they will find fault with us and criticize us. And that will pinch our hearts. That will hurt our hearts and hurt our minds and agitate and disturb our minds. So don't throw stones. Because we live in a very fragile situation. Because we are not beyond criticism. We are not perfect and faultless. We are have so many faults ourselves. There's a story of the needle and the sieve. The story of the needle and the sieve. We say sieve. Cheni and Sui. So one day, the sieve, the cheni, was criticizing the needle. He said, "Hey, Mr. Needle, you have a big hole in your head. You have a big hole in your head." And then Sui, Mr. Sui said, sounds like some Japanese guy. Sensui, Samsung, and all these guys. So Mr. Needle said, "Hey, Baba, what are you talking about? You have thousands of holes in your back, arm, all over the place. You're made of holes. At least I have something solid to talk about. I may have one big hole in my head, but I have some solid body." Sui has some solid body. "But you're only holes. You're full of holes. And you're criticizing me? Are? Kya kare?" What are you doing? Kya bolche? Ki bolche? Ki bolche? What are you saying? So this is the point, that if we look a good look at ourselves, and even the needle is better than us. The Sui is better than us, because the Sui has one hole in its head. One hole in its body. How many holes do we have in our body?
Nine.
Navadwara. Ye shariram navadwaram. Nine holes. Two eyes, two nose, two ears, etc. Mouth. Front, back. Front door, back door. There's nine holes in this body. There's a city of nine gates. Navadwarapuri. This body. So we have nine holes. And then we want to start finding fault. So this is a lesson also Pundarika is telling us. Be careful. Don't measure. Don't judge. Especially when you're looking at even ordinary equals, those that are equal, we should be very careful not to judge or measure, because we are so faulty ourselves. What to speak, project our judgment propensity to those above us. It's impossible to judge those that are equal to us. What to speak of judge those that are above us. So when you're looking to the Lord, He's way above us. And you're looking to the Lord's intimate personal servitors, His pujaris, His sevites. They're called sevites. Bhagavan ka sevite. The sevite. The personal servants of the Lord. How much more they are above even our equals. They're the intimate, the parishads. The parishads, the sevites of the Lord, the intimate servitors. They dress the Lord. They bathe the Lord. They touch the Lord. They feed the Lord. They put the Lord to sleep. The pandas, the pujaris. How intimate, how dear, how confidential, antaranga bhaktas they are. And we say, "This guy, what's he doing? Offered starch cloth to the Lord. See, look here, right here, rule number 171. 171, you should not offer starch cloth to the Lord. He's in violation." This is most absurd, most elementary, and offensive. So if we always operate with this principle in mind, we'll never get in trouble. And that's the principle that is given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it should be carved. It should be deeply carved on the walls of our heart. This principle should be deeply carved on the walls of our heart and engraved or etched on the canvas of our mind. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishana amanina manidena kirtaniya sada hari. If we're so busy, if we're in this humble mood of respecting others and not expecting any respect and being tolerant, We'll always be gravitating towards the Lord. We'll always be searching out the Lord in His Namrup avatar. Kali Kalera Dharma Namrup avatar. And Kali, He comes as a Namrup. And He's available to the humble. And He's available to the tolerant. And He's available to the prideless. And non-envious. So when we adopt these qualities and display these qualities, then the Holy Name moves into our heart. He becomes a permanent resident of our heart. The holy name becomes a permanent resident in the house of our heart. He takes up one room there in the beginning. He takes up one room. And after some time, he takes up two rooms. And after some time, he moves into three rooms. And after some time, he takes up the whole house of the heart. The heart becomes full of the holy name, saturated with the holy name. Wholesale takeover, wholesale conquering. That's called Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Param Vijayate. Param Vijayate means wholesale takeover, total conquest of the heart. He comes in quietly, stealthily, like a thief in the night. He comes in and just moves into a little closet in the basement. He moves into a small closet in the basement of your heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he's there, he's quiet, doesn't make much noise. Every once in a while we open the door and a few mantras come out. Then we close the door and we run all around the house and our heart goes in so many directions and we go with so many engagements, so many people. The house of our heart has so many people in all the other rooms, husband, wife, mother, father, cousin, cha-cha, mama, jiju, biju, kiju, liju, niju, baju. You know, all these different relatives, thousands of extended relatives. And our heart is crammed up with all these people and places and things. And in that little closet in the basement, every once in a while, we go down to the basement, we open that door of our heart, that little tiny room, and Hare Krishna. Oh, you're still there. Okay, good. And then we go, oh, mother, father, uncle, this, that, wedding, graduation, party, hospital, birthday, blah, 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 da, 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 da. But soon, after some time, then the holy name says, wait a minute. I'm tired of staying in a basement, trapped in this closet. I'm taking over the whole basement. Doom. And then we go down to the basement. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, you came out of the closet. You're in the basement. Okay, well, as long as you're in the basement. And then pretty soon he takes over the first floor, second floor, and then every room of the heart starts, the name takes over. Then when he takes over the name, he kicks everybody else out. he's an autocrat, totalitarian ruler. Totalitarian dictator. An absolute conquest. This is the meaning of Param Vijayate. It means he conquers all sides. All directions are conquered by the holy name. So that's desirable. That's the goal. That's the prayojan. That's the necessity. Prayojan means goal and necessity. This is a necessity of the devotee to attain perfection. Be conquered by the holy name. And one can be conquered by the holy name when he has the requisite qualities. And the submission has four expressions. Submission to the holy name is expressed in four directions or four ways. Tolerance, humility, pridelessness, and respecting all. So this is the story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi being slapped by the Lord. Since you can't sleep anyway, you might as well get slapped up. It's too noisy to sleep. Then you come running, Maharaj, Maharaj, I couldn't sleep. What happened? Oh, these two guys came and slapped me last night. Not shut. So tomorrow, by the mercy of the Lord, we hope that we can sit together. And since this is kind of the time of Ram Lila is going on, or just Ram Dasara just happened, well, we're going to hear a very wonderful story about Murari Gupta's staunch faith and Lord Ramachandra, if Lord Ram is kind to us, and we can meet again tomorrow. No. Mother Brajeshri, she's lived many, many years in Jagannath Puri. In 1999, there was what she calls, or I guess everyone calls, super cyclone. There was some tremendous cyclone that hit the coast of Orissa. 1 lakh people died in 1999. Of course, Kali is such a way that most people forgot all about it already. But it was a tremendous loss of life. And that hurricane, or what we call hurricane, it called cyclone, was coming directly towards the toward Jagannath. It was just off the coast, about 10 miles or 5 miles off the coast, and 100-foot waves and 250 kilometers per hour winds. 250. That's pretty fast. And coming at a tremendous speed. And then many of the devotees, which I had mentioned to someone the other day, I forget who, maybe it was you, Many devotees saw, they testify that from the chakra above the shikara of the Jagannath Mandir, the main temple in Puri is Jagannathji, from this big chakra that's there, it's iron or some kind of rare metal, I think, actually. It's a very old thing. It's, it looks very small, but actually it's 25 feet in diameter. It's like really huge. But when everything is very big in the temple, but looks very small. It's a very, it's kind of a technique of a standard of Arisan temple architecture. Everything's very grand and tall, but it's made to look very sweet. It's a very special style. It's actually almost like an optical illusion. It's the way they, yeah, because they want the grandeur of the Lord, but they want the sweetness of Vrindavan also. It's very, the whole history about Arisan architecture, temple architecture, combination of Aishwarya and Madhurya. But at any rate, this large chakra, from that chakra they saw there were two beams of light came off. Many people saw and went at the time of the cyclone and went straight towards that cyclone at a very fast speed. And so, and then that light from the temple chakra, those beams of light, they hit that cyclone head on, so to speak. And the devotees were saying it was the hands of Baladev, Lord Baladev. He just gave a slap to that cyclone, which maybe was some demon or who knows what. Because ultimately everything is personal, the ultimate issue. As I'm saying, the light was the hands. So then cyclone went about 6 or 10 kilometers north towards Calcutta, and then it came in at a place called Paradweep. And with its full force, it came in Paradweep. And with so much wind that these Nariyal trees, these palm trees, which ordinarily, when there's extensive wind, they just bend like this, like Hawaiian Islands and Bali and all these places. There's heavy winds and the trees, they bend. They're very flexible. These coconut palm trees, they always go like this. There's so much wind, these trees were yanked out of the ground and thrown in the air like a piece of straw. The coconut trees, they were 100 feet long. And the cows and bulls, huge bulls, were thrown in the sky like cotton balls. They're just flying around the sky. Thousands and thousands of cows were, that was a mess. So she was making the point that Jagannath so much loves his people, and of course he loves everybody, God loves everybody, but somehow destiny was such that Jagannath protected those devotees in the Dham, and those other devotees he didn't protect. So that was their destiny. Konteya pradijanihi nambe bhakti pranashiti. The real thing of protection is the Lord protects the devotees' bhakti. Whether or not they lose their body or not, that's up to the Lord.